Lent is a season of conversion, as we know, season of repentance, of renewal, of preparation. We had an example of conversion on Saturday when we read the story of Levi, the tax collector, who was called and left his sinful life behind and followed Jesus. And then yesterday we were reminded that in this journey of conversion, we have an enemy, the devil, who tempts us as he tempted Jesus in the desert. Today's readings fill out the picture even further. They remind us that conversion is not only leaving sin behind, it's not only avoiding doing bad things, it's also taking up the obligation to do good things, especially for those in need. And this can take us by surprise. There's a lot of surprise in this liturgy. As I reflected on it, I was thinking of the experience of St. Paul when he was still Saul of Tarsus. He was traveling on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden, this voice and this light from heaven says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And remember Saul's response, "Who are you?" He was completely surprised. "Who are you?" And then the answer is, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Now, Saul never heard this, we can almost be sure, he had never heard this parable before, parable of the Last Judgment, because he didn't follow the way. He was a persecutor of the way. But Jesus taught this very thing, that when what we do to others, we do to him. What he said to Saul is, "You're persecuting me," because Saul was persecuting the believers. What this parable tells us, that what we do for the least one, we do to him. And what we neglect to do for the least one, we neglect to do for him. And we see in the gospel the same surprise that Saul experienced. The righteous, when they're told that you fed me and you visited me and you cared for me, they say, "Well, when did we ever do that? When did we ever even see you?" And Jesus says, "Well, you did it for one of my least brothers. You did it for me." The goats have the same surprise. When did we ever neglect you? When did we ever not minister to your needs? They're surprised. And the answer is, whenever you didn't do it for one of these least ones, you did not do it for me. So this fills out our Lent a bit, because we may have been a little bit too much focused on what we should not do, or after yesterday, what we're tempted by. It was a gospel yesterday about temptation, and so we think, well, I know what tempts me. Sins tempt me, my weaknesses tempt me, bad habits or practices from the past, or bad people online, or bad news. I could be tempted to anger, I could be tempted to desire, I could be tempted to selfishness or whatever. But we don't usually think of the temptation to not do what we should do, the temptation to omit what we must do. And that's part of being a Christian. So it's a surprise, and it's also a big challenge, how to respond in this way. Now, it's not as if we have to get compulsive about this, because there are many, many of Jesus' least brothers and sisters in the world whom we will never meet and never see and don't know anything about. And so, how can we visit them in prison? How can we visit them in the hospital? We can't. That's not the criterion in which we're being judged, the people that we never meet and don't know. What about the people that we do meet, and the people that we do know, and the people that we do encounter? This is where the surprise will be very great, when we get to the judgment, the seat of judgment, or before the king. We'll say, "Well, I was just going to the bank. I was just scrolling online. I didn't know you were there. I was shopping. I didn't know you were there. I was just doing my work. I was just completing my projects or whatever. I didn't know you were there. And that's how it will be. So, and it will become clear to us, oh no, Jesus was there the whole time. In disguise, what Mother Teresa calls the distressing disguise of the poor. So this is a big challenge and a big part of Lent, to open our eyes to the presence of Jesus in others and to do something. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to run around crazy about taking care of every single person, because even God doesn't do that. Some people have criticized this gospel and said, well, God himself seems to neglect the poor. I mean, look at all the people, refugees and starving people and people in prisons. And how is God taking care of them? How is he taking care of their needs? Well, of course he's taking care of them. And one of the ways he does it, he has many ways, but one of the ways he does it is by sending his own followers. Jesus acts, is present and acts in and through the church. So when the church does these things, then Jesus is doing them. Jesus, remember, when he was asked about the greatest commandments, actually he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love God. That's the first commandment, the first and the greatest. Love God with your whole heart, whole mind, all your strength. That's the first commandment. Then he immediately added a second commandment, and he took it from today's first reading. He plucked it out of the obscurity of the book of Leviticus and said, love your neighbor as yourself. It's the last line of today's first reading. So let's look at this section from Leviticus. We know Leviticus is full of detailed rules. It's not a very popular book because it has all these, well, descriptions of things we should do and how different sacrifices should be done and how different sins should be punished and which things make us unclean and on and on. But here there's a selection from chapter 19, all about how we treat our neighbor and how we should not treat our neighbor. We should not steal, we should not lie, we should not speak falsely, we should not rob people or defraud people or act dishonestly, and all these things. These are all about love of neighbor. And then he sums it all up at the end. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You notice in this reading, after every one of the commandments are reminders of the commandments, he says, I am the Lord. Why does he do that? Because he's making the connection between love of God and love of neighbor. Why should you love your neighbor? Because I love that neighbor. And why should you love your neighbor? Because in loving him, you love me. Whatever you do to the least one, you do to me. Whatever you neglect to do, you neglect to do to me. I am the Lord. The Lord is in the whole thing. It's not as if we love God going looking in one direction and love our neighbor looking in the other direction. No. God is in our neighbor. That's clear from the gospel. So this helps us. This enriches our Lenten journey. We're not just embarking on a project of self-improvement. We're loving God and loving our neighbor, and we're loving God in our neighborhood.